Cuckoo.
Welcome to Europhile. My name is Kate Walker.
And I'm Catherine Rory.
Hi, Kat.
Hi, Kate.
I am two glasses of blue wine in.
I am one glass of wine in.
I had Sunday dinner with my family. We're recording like at night and we never really do it.
The last time we never do this. Yeah.
It was like 2 years ago or something like that.
I was thinking that too. Like it's this time of year. We're a little bit behind. We had some drinks and we're like, oh, we gotta record.
You know, family. I know, it's so funny. So we're here on a Sunday night.
Where did you go to dinner? What did you do?
Well, I'm still at my parents' house. I'm just gonna, you know, stay for holidays and I think maybe a little bit of January, TBD. Mm-hmm. So we went to a German restaurant in Milwaukee.
Obviously,
if you know, Milwaukee is, you know, very German. But we went to this restaurant called Mater's and it is so kitsch. In the best way.
Cute.
Real German, you know, it's just so good. Like sauerkraut, mm-hmm. the schnitzel, the glühwein, armor there. It's just so funny. And like everything's wood and carved and just warm and Christmassy. And it was perfect.
So cute. Mm-hmm. Cute. What a good idea. I don't think I've ever eaten there.
No.
I feel like I'm familiar with it because you texted me and I was like, I don't know what Mater's is.
We should go.
Do they have spätzle?
Oh, we had spätzle.
I want spätzle. Oh, yum. Okay.
Spätzle. And then we had, not sauerkraut, what is it? The cabbage, like the pickled red cabbage.
Oh, like love. Yeah. Yum.
Yum. So good.
Delish. Oh, cute.
What about you? What are you up to?
It has been a whirlwind of fun, but I must say I'm quite exhausted. I can't wait for the holidays to go home and spend time in my pajamas because I was gone for a couple of weeks. I was in upstate New York visiting Christina and then in the city for a very good friend's wedding and all my college friends were there.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I had to go to Little Italy and get a cannoli and a cappuccino. I was like, how can you resist? I came home and then 2 days later, my parents got into town and they have been visiting me.
Busy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was like, I can't even believe, like, this weekend I was like in a hotel with my parents and last weekend I was like in a hotel in New York with all my college friends. I was just like, what is time? Like, what's going on? It's like a whirlwind right now.
Yeah.
And then I dropped my parents off at the airport today and I was like, see you guys in like 5 days because I'm coming home for Christmas.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Like in a few days. So
it is so funny. And it's okay, you go from 70 degrees to like 30. Welcome to Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So I have the topic.
Yes, yes.
This week. And it's coming out right before Christmas. And so for those of you that do follow us on, you know, our social channels, this might be a little bit of, you know, we're reduce, reuse, recycle. And I sprinkled in some new topics, but I am doing a video every day. And this is sort of like, you know, just a little project of mine that Kat also did, but a video every day for, you know, European traditions. So I wanted to actually put it in the podcast. So then we had it here.
Yeah. And also, if you're not following us on social media, what are you doing? We are at Europhile_. Thank you.
It's better on TikTok. It's kind of a little bit more unhinged on TikTok, I feel like.
Yeah. You get more of like us, actually, TikTok.
I think so. Than a sanitized version that my parents can see on, you know, Instagram.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you aren't aware, Kat did do an episode of Christmas traditions. Mm. And it's hearkening back to episode 44. So this is like European Christmas part two. Let's say
perfect.
That.
Love it.
Okay. And let's start in Ireland.
Ooh, yay.
And we're going to talk about Little Christmas. So January 6th is the Feast of the Epiphany and it marks the end of the 12 days of Christmas. So we call it Little Christmas. Cute. And in Irish, it's called Nulag Naaman. And this is the day that the Christmas decorations have to be taken down. So you can't, it's bad luck to take them down before and it's bad luck to take them down after. It has to be on this day. And you know whose problem that isn't? Women. It is not a woman's problem.
Yes. Yes.
You know why? Because she's been slaving away, making Christmas magical for her family.
For weeks, months.
Weeks, months, and God knows years probably. And just like, this is the one day where ladies can let loose, go to the pub if they so choose, go to their friend's house, have the last bit of Christmas cake. Sometimes they do it up, like go fancy and go to the pubs or go out to dinner. Yeah. It just depends on where they live. In more rural areas, they would probably just visit their friends and, you know, have their tea and, you know, maybe the last bit of whatever Christmas goodies that they had.
This is the sweetest thing. Like, thank you. Finally, someone giving a shout out to the girls who made it happen.
And it's like, come the dads on. Have to take care of all the kids, all, you know, all the babies, whoever, and they have to take down the Christmas decorations.
Yeah.
Good luck, sir.
My mom always made us do it because she said, quote, it makes me too sad. So we were
that's
like,
a good idea.
So she would like leave the house, especially like after, especially after like my sister and I moved out of the house. She was like, like taking down the tree means that you girls are leaving. And like, that makes me sad. And so we'd
be like,
it is
the worst.
Joni, go do your thing. Like, we'll do it for you. Or like you
she
sleep
had a
in.
Little Christmas.
Yeah, we do a little Christmas without even realizing it. I'll tell her that.
Yeah, that's cute. Women work so hard, obviously, and make it so magical. And obviously, dads do things too, but you know, women just like do so much. And so it's nice to have a little Christmas there where they have the day off.
So cute.
Okay, so let's go to Poland. And
great. Wow, it is like representing me. Irish and Polish to start off.
Thank you. Just for you. Just for you. And it's considered good luck to keep a fish scale in your wallet. And this was confirmed by someone on our TikTok who said she does this. So this tradition is also found in the Czech Republic and Slovakia. So it comes from eating carp on Christmas. And obviously we know, like in Italy, they eat, you know, the seven fishes. Mm-hmm. In if you celebrate Christmas, you're probably eating like a meat-free dish. So in Poland, it's no different. So, you know, before Christmas, obviously you go to the store, like the fishmonger, and pre-refrigeration days, they would buy a live carp that they would keep inside their bathtub.
I'm obsessed with that. I know. Love that so much.
I know. It's so cute. Cute. It's their little pet.
Yes.
Their little pet for a few days before they
and
eat,
they
their
eat little it.
Pet. Yeah. There was like, you know, a few reasons why obviously pre-refrigeration, they would, you know, keep it fresh, but also they say, because I don't want to say like it's a bottom feeder, but it cleans out the system a little bit
to be in
fresh water in the tub.
Okay. Enough said.
Yeah. Anyways, so obviously we, you know, when you have a live carp, you have to kill it and clean it, and they would save the scales and wash them and preserve them and then put them in their wallet until the next year and replace them with that next year's carp scale. And it's just for good luck and prosperity.
Could use some of that. Like, why not? I'll throw some carp scales in my wallet. Like, help me.
I will do whatever you want for good luck. I literally will like jump on one toe. I don't really like
the Spaniards and on New Year's, I'm gonna eat 12 grapes under a table.
Yeah, I did that. Did we do that last year? Eat
12
grapes not under
people,
a table.
People
but
do it under a table, I see. Anyway.
Yeah, but I mean, people, like, you know, they just eat 12 grapes and they say it's, you know, for good luck.
Yes,
but
yeah.
It's like,
I'll do it. Give me the grapes.
I did not have good luck this year. So. Got to do something else. I have been following astrology a little bit, and I feel like next year is going to be all right.
Good.
It has to be. So
yeah, something's got to change.
So for our next stop is England. I just watched Bridget Jones. I freaking love her
love.
So much.
Perfect.
I just watched
perfect movie.
I know. I just watched Love Actually. Mm-hmm. Just And obviously I'm saving the holiday for actual Christmas.
Yes.
Gotta save it. Gotta consider that one. Uh-huh. And we see those like paper hats that all the English, wear on Christmas. And they come from English Christmas crackers. Have you done like a Christmas cracker?
Yeah, we always do Christmas crackers ever since my mom lived in London, like 10 years ago. Yeah, I love it. It's so fun. It's so special.
Cute. Yeah.
Yes.
And I was walking down World Market, you know, like the aisle in World Market, and they just have so many English Christmas crackers. Oh,
I'll tell my mom.
Okay. So if you don't know what a Christmas cracker is, they consist of a wrapped and decorated cardboard cylinder, and they kind of resemble a candy, like a little twisted candy.
Totally.
So they normally include a paper crown, which is like, you know, what we see on Bridget, what we see in Love Actually, a motto, which is a joke or a riddle, a novelty gift. And then when you open it, it snaps, or like there's like a pop.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's the fun bit, right? It's like,
yeah, it's like
makes a little bang. Yeah. You open it by almost like crossing your arms, and then you pull someone else's, the end of someone else's cracker.
Yes. I don't think we've ever done that. I'll have to remind my family that's how they do it.
I mean, I don't know. You can just do whatever you want, I guess.
It's more fun.
Yeah. That's traditionally how it was done, or is done. These Christmas crackers sort of started during Victorian times. So in 1840, Thomas Smith, he was a British confectioner, I should say. He went to Paris and he discovered the bonbon. And the bonbon is like a sugared almond wrapped in tissue paper that was decorated kind of similarly.
Okay.
And he decided to bring the bonbon to London during Christmas. And that year he like sold out. To sort of like make himself distinct, or, you know, to make his bonbons unique, he would place a small love motto in the tissue paper. So sometimes it would be like little poems, you know, just like little love sayings. At that time, the majority of the bonbons were still being sold at Christmas. So he was like, how can I make this last all year?
Yes. Like, yeah.
He was like, okay, well, that's not going to happen. So let's just lean into Christmas. Mm-hmm. And so he, you know, obviously thinking, you know, how he can do this. And he's like, oh, you know, the crackle of a log on a fire was inspirational one day. And he's like, how can we make this happen? And so he found some scientist and they created, they like together. Well, I mean, I don't think he did any of this. He was just like, make me something that pops.
Yes,
so basically, the chemist created this, you know, friction, like explosive thing. So it was like still safe that people could use. And it just was like fun. And it was silver fulminate, if anyone cares about that. I don't, but
for the dads,
nice.
For the dads out there who love chemistry.
So after that, the Christmas cracker, as we know it, was born.
Bless. Good job, gents.
Confectioner. How nice is that?
So cute. That's like so fun of him. How whimsical.
So whimsical.
The whimsy is out, is off the charts.
I mean, when I think of how magical London is during Christmas.
It hurts. It hurts me.
Sickening.
I told my family, my parents this weekend, I was like, we are going back for a London Christmas. I was like, 2025, because I was like, because we had it when my mom worked there when I was like 18. Mm. And I was like, we need that again. It was so
magical. Did you go to London or did you go?
Yes.
Where you were.
We were only around there. So we did. Yeah. I've never been to the Cotswolds. Would love to go.
Cute.
But it was just, it's just so special. They
it's
do
like
it
Cotswolds
so well.
In summer or in winter.
Deepest winter.
Just,
I'll take either.
So mm-hmm. Or Soho House. That'd be cool too. All right. And let's go we're going to just, you know, take a little boat over to Iceland. So we're going to talk about the Yulads, and they are these mischievous beings that lived in the mountains.
Oh, okay. Mountain
lads.
So
it's sort of like, it started to like scare kids. Obviously, everything is Santa. Like, let's scare kids shitless, so yes, they are good and behave all year round.
That's so true. That's so true.
Watching, like, are you kidding? Yeah. That is,
or your Krampus will come and get you and whip you, whatever.
Okay, so this sort of like cartoonified version of what we see today about the Yule lads, it happened when the popularization of Santa Claus came to Iceland. So basically it was like these scary, you know, these scary things. Uh-huh. And then obviously Santa Claus, you know, this nice jolly guy. So they made things more palatable for kids. There are 13 Yule lads.
And they
start on December 12th. So they all do different mischievous things. They're not that bad. On the 12th of December, we have the Sheepcoat Clod. I'm not even going to attempt to say these names Icelandic. Sorry. And he sneaks into barns to steal milk from sheep.
Okay.
Not quite sure how that's scary to children. Anyway.
Yeah. They're like, we don't care.
And like, okay, steal the milk. Yeah. So on December 13th is the Gullygock. And he steals cow's milk from the barn.
Oh, even worse.
On the 14th is Stubby. And he's obviously the shortest. And he swipes leftover food from frying pans.
Okay.
And that's then annoying. On the 15th of December, we have the Spoon Licker, which, spoiler alert, all he does is lick spoons if they're dirty.
Okay. That's then gross.
I know. Get that. And then it's on the 16th, there is the Pot Licker, and he steals unwashed pots from the kitchen so he can lick them clean. I don't know who's going to bed with dirty dishes like that, but interesting.
Yeah.
And then on the 17th, we have the Bowl Licker, and it says that he snatches bowls out from under beds. So who is going to bed?
Yeah. With dirty bowls.
Dirty bowls. I mean,
midnight
I guess
snackers. The midnight snackers.
Yeah. So just don't eat snacks at night. Which is, that would scare me. I wouldn't do that.
I don't need something coming under my bed. Like, that is scary.
Wait. Okay. So this is scary. This one. So on the 18th, we have the door slammer, and he slams doors, and he'll do this all night if he finds any open. So basically, it's just like scaring kids to, you know, probably preserve heat and just keep the doors closed.
And like, go to bed, close your door. Good night. Yeah, that's
what if
scary.
You heard a door slam and you were like 5 and you're like, oh my God.
If I heard that in my age
now.
Your
dad is here.
Age now, I'm scared. That is terrifying.
I would be terrified. My favorite one comes on the 19th of December, and he's the skier gobbler. He just steals skier yogurt.
Not the skier.
And then on the 20th, there's the sausage swiper. Obviously, steals your sausages.
Mm-hmm.
And
also
on
like
the
that.
21st, there is the window peeper. That is terrifying.
No, that's
it's
gross.
Basically just like peeps inside your windows to steal things, which I don't know what's left out that he would want to steal.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Maybe that was open to interpretation of whatever the parents wanted to scare the kids about.
Yep. Yeah. That's so true. And then on the 22nd, we have the door sniffer, and he's just basically, he's looking for the baked goods. He wants buns.
Yep.
He wants something like that. He wants the cakes, cookies.
Yeah. Love.
And then on the 23rd of December, we have the meat hook, which is he wants the meat. So
he wants the meat.
What is there to say?
Period.
About that? I couldn't come up with a clever way to say that. I don't know. And then on the 24th of December, we have the candle beggar, and he just steals candles.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Those are necessary. So that's annoying.
Yeah. And so every night during these 13 nights, the kids would leave out a shoe, like an empty shoe, and then they would receive a gift if they were good, or a rotten potato. They're naughty.
Stinky.
There are scary counterparts to this, but I'm not even gonna get into it. These just if you're good, you basically get presents for 13 days.
Yes. Okay. That's fun.
And you have to make sure to leave presents or treats for the Yule lads themselves.
You know, okay.
It's just like, this is a symbiotic relationship.
Okay. Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's go to Poland. This is like another new one that I haven't done yet.
Okay.
Okay. It's called Andrzejki. I think that's how you say it. Okay. It's called Andrzejki. And it comes from the name comes from like St. Andrew. So it's like, St. Andrew's Day, which is on the 29th of November. So it's right before Advent and like, obviously winter is starting. And this is about one of our favorite things, fortune telling.
Yes, it always finds its way into things. And I love that.
So on the 29th of November, in the middle of the night, it was the saint's duty to help young girls to find out who their husbands would be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's useful. You cannot waste time.
No.
Cannot waste time.
I have to know.
This was basically for girls, for like St. Andrew to help them. And on the 24th of November, it was St. Catherine who would help the boys.
Beautiful.
But obviously now it's, you know, they kind of just like mesh, like, you know, threw it all together for St. Andrew's Day to help everyone. So this tradition is sort of like pre-Christian. It's like, you know, pagan. It's sort of like, you know, the start of the winter season, ancestral spirits return to earth, enabling us to call to them in these rituals.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I love that.
So, you know, this holiday is obviously so fucking fun. So lighthearted. The girls are giggling, screaming, kicking their feet, trying to figure out who they're going to marry. And, you know, there's obviously like different games and like different forms of fortune telling that you could do.
Mm-hmm.
But the most like iconic one is the key one. So you would start with heating wax and then dipping it into cold water. To do that, you would pour it through a skeleton key. So like an old house key, like an old iron key. And I feel like it needs to be an iron key because they have like that big, you know, end that you could actually pour wax through.
Not,
like, obviously you couldn't do that with your key now or like anything. And so the resulting lumps that are in like the cold water are then held up to the light, and you would use that to cast a shadow and then like sort of
see what the shape tells you or something.
It can show you what his face, you know, the husband's face looks like, or maybe like a clue. It basically is like, it could be a prediction. It could, you know, it could be if something's meaningful to you, like a clue.
Yeah. Or like, it might look, I'm imagining it looks like a letter. Like, what if it's like, looks like
it could be anything like that. Cool. Any clue to who it could be.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I also saw another thing that, you know, the girls would do, and it would be,
girlies.
This is so funny. I told my mom when I was like researching this, I was like, this is so good. So the girls would go outside, and any direction, you know, you would walk outside.
Mm-hmm.
You would, any direction that you would hear a dog barking from, that'd be the direction that your husband would come from. A dog.
a dog who barks at literally everything. Like, that's
a dog.
But sure, tell me.
Dogs, like, for dogs.
And like, what does that mean? Like, like he lives in that direction. I mean, that's true. That is a fact, actually.
That's why I was laughing. Because I was like, this is too on the nose, I feel like.
girlies. You're so silly, girls. It's too much.
I know. It's very good. And then the last one is sort of like, the girls would take off their shoes and stand at the wall that's farthest away from the door. And then you would kind of go like heel toe.
Okay.
With your, and like the person that won, like, got to the door first.
Yeah.
They were the, you know, the first person to get married.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
This it's and for the girls. It's silly. It's fun. It's I love it.
I love the key one.
Yes. I'm obsessed. Love that. Yeah.
Love. I love any fortune telling things because, like, I like how that's not. I mean, I do love a medium. I do love a psychic. I do love tarot cards. We have to talk about this. But I do like things where it's just a little more like games.
Yeah. It's silly.
Yeah. Like, where it's like, no one's getting out a Ouija board.
Absolutely not. Don't touch that.
Just fun.
Want nothing to do with that. No, yeah. This is just fun.
Yeah. It's just fun. But yeah. And those are my five Christmas traditions for part two.
Yay. Part two. Thank you. Oh, that was so cute. That was just perfect. Thanks, Kate. I would adopt some of those.
I like some of those. The Yule ads I can live without, I think.
Don't need that. That's... Don't bother me. Don't need to do anything.
Why do you want men
you?
Coming into your house? When, yeah. Unless they do give you gifts, and that's okay.
Yeah.
But
I love men who give gifts. That's it. Yeah. Don't take my breakfast. Do not take my breakfast.
No.
But like carp in the wallet. Oh, check. Totally. Yes. Mm-hmm. Mom's day off.
Crackers.
Check. Yes. Yeah. Crackers. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So perfect. I'm happy to keep these traditions alive in my own families.
Yeah. Cute.
Shall we get into the mini topic, which stays on theme, of course.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And this one is a little bit more for the dads, just because it's kind of like, it's nerdy. Okay.
Okay.
Like, for lack of a better word, this is a little nerdy. Mm-hmm. So this is for the dads out there who tune in. Thank you. Thank you, dads.
Thanks, dads.
So we're going to talk about gift giving in medieval Europe. Right? That's like dad stuff.
Okay.
Obviously, like we people who celebrate Christmas give gifts to each other. The day closely associated with gift giving in medieval Europe was New Year's Day. So for many medieval people, New Year's represented a new beginning. Of course, it's the new year coming in. And many held lavish celebrations and parties and feasts to make sure that the new year started off well. And people would give gifts to friends, acquaintances, employers, and family as like a token of their love and regard and to wish them luck for the coming year. So there's a couple categories of gifts that we're going to go through. And some of them like annoyed me. Like I'm like, we'll get there. So food, of course, is a central component of any medieval holiday celebration. And like, you know, what else could you do back then basically other than like have a feast to celebrate anything? So, but that was food. Nothing. Also became, yeah, like what else do you do? You're like working in the field all day.
TV.
Yeah. Like most of us would have been.
Where else are you going to hear music?
Who are working in the fields. So like, hopefully we get a day to have some good food. So food also became a popular thing to exchange with each other. If a peasant were invited to partake in their lord's holiday celebration, they would bring like one of their best fowl to give to their lord, which I'm sorry, that just immediately annoyed me because it's like, your lord doesn't deserve that.
Yeah, he can pay for it.
Yeah. I'm just like, this really annoyed me. And I'm like, oh, I'm getting mad about like the class medieval systems of ages. Like that tracks. However, you know, the lords would give back as well. So if the harvest was good, they would get more grain or a bigger portion of the crops. And this is also silly. Sometimes lords would place specific gifts around their residence and like let the peasants who like rented their lands in to like mock pillage the home for them. So it would be like, here we are, we're tearing your home apart, but it's just like them looking for presents. So it's like kind of fun, but also like just give them a present.
Yeah.
Don't make them like put on a show for you. I don't know why. I was like, I literally hate you.
This pisses me off.
Like they do so much work for you.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And pay you to live there. Okay, whatever.
People would go wassailing, which we have talked about in previous Christmas episodes, which is just like, you know, people of lower classes going around and like banging on the doors of people in higher classes, like demanding a drink, and they would like pour them a drink of ale or whatever, mead.
Right.
What what do they drink in the villages? Mead. I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
That I mean, sounds right.
I've never had mead, but I would very much like to try it.
I don't think I have either. Yeah, I would try it.
Honey mead.
Yum. Sounds good. I'm sold.
Mm-hmm.
People would also give money as gifts. Of course,
now we're talking.
Give me the cash. Mm-hmm. Of course, this is more for the wealthy classes, or like employers or lords would give, like reward those who work for them with money. But it was also seen as like, if you're in the upper class giving other people money, it's either to like thank them for their loyalty or to like show favor towards people who are above your station. So kind of like as a, you'll see later in the next topic, like, remember I did this for you kind of thing too. You might owe me down the line, or like just again, showing, like,
keep your weird money.
Yeah.
Keep your bribe.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It was kind of bribes. Or as like a way to show that like you side with them.
Mm-hmm.
Another popular gift for, again, upper classes, because they were very expensive, was books. So usually this is a similar thing, like bribery. So they would often be given by authors, and they're kind of like seeking favor and patronage from like an important individual. So it wasn't just a gift for the sake of a gift. It was like they wanted something in return usually.
Sure.
So an example of this is a man named John Leland gave a New Year's gift to Henry VIII in the form of a book that he wrote that was basically like a memoir of all
here's
of
my
his.
Book.
Yeah, here's my book. Like, yeah, thanks. That was like, you got that for free probably, but okay.
Uh-huh.
And it was just like all of his various travels and like things that he learned from his travels.
Oh, okay.
And it was probably presented to Henry VIII as like a, here's what I've done. Hopefully like you're going to support me for like this more future travels and writing and work. So it was never, I feel like for the upper classes, it wasn't just a gift. It was like, remember what I gave you kind of thing. And that's the end of gift giving in medieval Europe.
Interesting. Very interesting. I don't think you should give your boss a gift ever.
Absolutely not. They should be giving us gifts. Come on.
I know. That might be a very American way of like looking at it or something, but I don't know. It just feels weird.
That does feel weird. Yeah.
I understand like bribes, like bribe away, I guess.
Sure. It doesn't mean that you're going to win. Like,
no.
Sure, you can give me something. That doesn't mean
attempt
anything.
To bribe.
Yeah. Yeah. You can attempt to bribe me, please. Yeah. I dare you.
Yeah. This is like a silly little tangent. I saw this video recently, and it was about how we used to have, or should have, or I don't know if it was should or we used to, but basically, because women were timekeepers, we're the original timekeepers. We have a clock inside our bodies, right?
Yes. Yeah. Oh my God. Whoa.
We're the original time. Yeah. We're the original timekeepers. So each month should be 28 days because that is a cycle. So we should have 13 months.
Whoa.
Yes.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
And because we went on the Gregorian calendar and obviously like all of these other things happened, we had all of these months have random ass days. And the only month in the year is February that has the correct amount of days.
That is crazy.
Isn't that so wild? If you think about it, it's like, I do get pissed looking at a calendar because sometimes you're like, oh, I just wish like, you know, my medicine would go along with this calendar.
Yes. Yes.
You know,
totally.
And just like it doesn't. And that's why.
Add it to the list of things to get pissed about being a woman.
The original timekeepers.
That is chilling.
I know.
Wow, thank you for sharing that.
I love that so much.
Yeah.
It's so crazy, like wild. Anyway.
Yeah.
Do you have a recommendation?
Yes. And you're not going to be surprised.
Okay. What is it?
Everyone, it's still in theaters. Go see Saltburn.
It
is
I still
crazy.
Haven't seen it.
Yes. Uh-huh. So I was lucky enough to go to the LA premiere because I got free tickets. And I went with our friend Sydney.
Second time you saw Jacob Elordi.
Yes. Yep. I've seen him around. Oh, it's always at Cinespia events, which is weird.
Oh, that's so true. Yeah. Yes.
So, yeah. So the director spoke, the cast came out, and then the movie premiered. It was like a week before it came out or something. Mm-hmm. And it was just crazy, fun, sickening, weird. It was so fun to see in theaters because the whole theater was like gasping. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was just a very good time about like this kid who goes to uni at Oxford mm-hmm. and then spends the holiday or like the summer.
Is he Irish in the movie?
I don't think so. No, he's British. He's
like British. Okay.
Yeah. He, Barry. You know, Barry, ugh, love him. Hot,
Barry
honestly.
Keough or something?
Super, yeah. Super hot uh-huh. in this. Like, you're leaving the theater and you're like, why am I so attracted to this little weirdo? But you are. And you're like, Jacob.
He to me is like, it's, you know, there's the weird hot. It's
he is,
Shia.
He's weird hot. Mm-hmm. Shia's one
Jeremy
of them.
Jeremy Allen White.
Mm-hmm.
Barry Keough.
Yeah.
Those are our weird hot. Weird
totally,
hots.
Totally. And that is more hot than being generically hot. Because it's interesting.
I so agree. Oh my God.
You have to have an interesting face. Yes. A little off. A little like.
A little ugly.
A little ugly.
A little ugly makes you so hot.
Totally. Totally. Oh, I love it. But it was so fun. And like Jacob Elordi, obviously is very hot in that movie. But like he's always going to be hot. Like he's always a hot person. But Barry is the star.
6'5" actor. Jacob Elordi.
6'7" actor.
He'll always be Jacob Elordi.
Yeah. And like, I love him. He is on my crush list. Permanent crush list. Absolutely adorable.
He is so your type.
So my type. So, except like take off type. Like 8 inches because that is too tall. I'm sorry that I couldn't date someone who's 6'5".
Well, he would just get back problems.
Yeah. Yeah. I looked up. I am the height of the actress who played Priscilla.
Priscilla.
We are the
you
same
are?
Height. Yeah.
I thought she was 5'3".
She's 5'1".
Oh.
So that would be our height difference. And that looked insane. Like that just can't
be. With her big hair too, that helped. But oh my God, imagine without her hair.
So I'm sorry, Jacob Elordi. I'm so sorry, but I can't date you. Is what I'm saying. Oh, pass. But Barry, he's a short king.
Yeah.
Barry, I could date.
I'm doing my part for the short king. I am doing my part.
I know. I know. You I love short him. King.
I do. Because I want to fit like a little puzzle piece.
Yeah.
I just want to fit in.
Fit in the nook.
I don't want your giraffe ass. Sorry. Mm-mm. I don't want it.
Get out.
6'5".
It's not
6'5"
here.
6'5" actor.
Keep it walking. 6'5" actors, keep it walking.
Oh, God. Okay.
What do you have for me?
I saw this really cute British rom-com, and it's on Hulu. Mm. If anyone... It has Hulu. It's called Rye Lane, and it's this really adorable, like, I think it's in London. It's just so cute, like, and it's about these two, you know, young adults who had just, you know, they're going through it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cute. It's not like gonna rock your world, but I'd say solid rom-com.
Great.
So
love.
Like adorable. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you root for them, but I will say my only gripe with it, and this is a personal issue.
Okay.
Women chasing men, I have a huge problem with. I will say it's cute in this movie, but stop making that.
We don't want that.
I don't want it. But I will say it is cute in this movie, but enough.
Mm-hmm.
Enough now.
I don't care. Like, that is the trope of rom-coms. Show me him begging.
Beg, get on your knees.
And I'll be like, that's the best rom-com I've ever seen. I don't care. Stick to the formula, okay?
Stick to the formula. This isn't made for men. Who are you making this for?
No.
Hello, if I want to see a woman chasing a man, I can watch a fucking Bond movie.
Yes, which we also love.
Which I also love too. But like, that's where I would go for that. And I'm under no illusions that's a rom-com. Or romantic drama. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, Bond films, rom-coms.
I came for the Brioni suit. I came for the Tom gorgeous Ford tuxedo. Car. I came for the gorgeous Jaguars. I came for the watches.
And the locales.
And the locales, the hot babes. And respectfully. And that's what I want. I can't wait for the next Bond. I like, I'm so.
Who is it going to be? You know what my brain just told me it is? Dev Patel. How fun would that be? How hot would that be?
Oh, hot. How tall is he? 6'2" actor Dev Patel. James Bond. Makes sense to me.
And he's too indie. He's too indie. He's too good. I think he would do it. I think that is perfect for him. Yeah,
I think
he
would
do
it. I don't think that they would offer it to him because he's too good. He's just a little sweetheart.
Sucks. Well, maybe we film it.
Yeah.
solution. There's our solution.
Set up a production company. Eurofile pictures.
Taking notes on my computer. Get in touch with Dev Patel. Also make him my boyfriend. dev.patel@gmail.com. Hey Dev, do you want to be in our next Bond film?
Let's just go off the rails. Who are we getting to do the song, the theme song? I have a good one.
I thought of someone. It's a wild card.
Okay.
Olivia Rodrigo.
Ooh, okay.
Uh-huh.
I like it.
Okay, who do you have?
Rosalia.
Oh, done. That was her whole reaction. Rosalia, 100%. Because she could do haunting.
You laugh. I don't think I've ever gotten...
We just solved it.
Okay, so who is the next leading lady?
The next leading lady.
Who is the Bond?
Bond girl.
You know who I think?
Who?
Taylor Russell.
Yes. Love. Yes.
Perfect face.
Yep. And she can be like an American agent.
Yeah.
Maybe they're butting heads. Maybe they're working together.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
Who's the villain? Barry Keough.
Wait. This is our star cast. Yes. Done.
Okay.
Barry.Keough@gmail.com. Let's ask him. And Taylor.Russell@gmail.com. We'll send out the emails.
5'6" actor Barry Russell. Yeah. Barry Russell. No. 5'6" actor Barry Keough.
Yeah. Be our evil guy. Now that we have the next Bond sorted, okay. I think we could get to the word of the day.
Okay.
Okay. So our word of the day. You guessed it, Tenenbaum. Except, guess
one
what?
Would just assume.
There's a little surprise here. So, Tenenbaum.
It means tree, right?
It means fir tree. It has nothing to do with the Christmas tree, like we English speakers believe. So, the modern lyric, this is a German folk song. Tenenbaum is a German word. This is a German folk song. And the modern lyrics were written in 1824 by German composer Ernst Anschutz. Mm-hmm. And the lyrics to the song have nothing to do with Christmas at all. Oh. And they don't describe a decorated Christmas tree. Instead,
like the tree.
It is referring to the fir tree's evergreen quality as a symbol of constancy and faithfulness. We never knew what the song was really about. At least I didn't.
That's nice.
But yeah,
I didn't really.
That was lovely. Fun
I've
little
never
fact.
Thought about it. But that's nice.
Oh, Tenenbaum. That's all I know.
Wait, what is it in English?
Oh, Christmas tree. Yeah. So we're wrong.
Oh, okay.
Ignorant as ever.
Wow. I can't believe we were so ignorant about all of these things. And we solved one of the world's issues.
Yeah.
The next Bond.
Who's going to be the next Bond?
Yeah.
We're dying. The people need to know. We need something to look forward to. I don't care if it's going to come out in 2029. Start telling us who it's going to be.
Well, let's get over to Dev Patel's team and make him aware.
We'll chat.
And
get things going. Start writing that script.
Well, I wish everyone happy holidays and Merry Christmas if you celebrate. And just the coziest time with treats in your family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Enjoy every moment. Ciao.
Ciao.